Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player.
This week on Out Now with Aaron and A, we're talking Fury.
Is it Furious?
Fast and Furious, because it's here.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe!
Abe, where are you?
Hey! Looks like you guys are three-dimensional.
It's probably because I can actually feel and touch you.
Can you?
I could.
No, it doesn't get... Oh! I'm being touched by angels!
That's better,
I guess. That's a CBS show.
That's good. What is this podcast about? It's a film podcast. Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We also have discussions about the latest... movie trailers and things of that nature. We dive into a spoiler-free review, and then we go back into other movie topics. This week, it's episode 168.
Pretty close to 170.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close to 170. It is very close.
You know what it adds up to, babe? 15.
15?
Okay.
I didn't...
Okay, let's...
He is an engineer.
You're welcome.
The guest needs to shut his mouth. That's what the guest needs to do. He hasn't been introduced.
You need to introduce the guest.
No, I didn't. So there's no reason you should be talking. So anyway, as I was saying before, Joe Blow over here interrupted me.
Joe Blow's on the show?
No, Jimmy O's on the horror podcast. Anyway, we're talking Fury this week, the new Brad Pitt tank movie.
Sounds amazing.
It's got perks.
That is true. That's a lot of P.
It's got all those things.
Yeah. Triple P?
It's got pissed off people.
The next, like, WWE star? Triple P?
Triple P?
Triple P? Yeah. his super move is like...
We should back up. I should say, we're in the same room together.
We are.
That doesn't happen often.
Yeah. We also just edited this so that we sounded like we're in the same room together. No, we actually are in the same room together. I was just kidding. We are.
You good with
that? I'm good.
Okay.
I'm going to drink some water.
Now, joining us to talk Fury, among other things this week, and probably try to keep Abe and I from fighting out together, because we're in the same room for
a day. As you've been known to do.
I have not introduced you yet. You keep your mouth closed, sir. Anyway.
I am so afraid of him right now.
You should be. Anyway, we're talking Fury this week. It's episode 168, and joining us, from the heart of San Jose, it's Ken Knopfzinger.
Guys, can't we all just get along?
We can.
You're in the heart of San Jose?
Yeah.
This is the heart.
Absolutely. They built it around me.
This is it right here.
Can you fit a Volkswagen Bug like you can with like a blue whale?
I'm not sure what you're going for, but yes.
This is the heart of San Jose, where the 101 and the 280 nearly meet.
We are near. I got up on the 101 to get here.
Well done.
It's the heart of San Jose. And yeah, we're going to talk about Fury this week. But before we get into all that, let's do a little show notes, and a little house cleaning here. Horror episodes, we've been doing them one every week for this month in October. Myself and friends of the show, Brandon Peters, Jimmy O from Joe Blow, and Jason Cole from Star Pulse. We've been talking about the various films throughout different decades of horror, and which has been a lot of fun. This week we just released our 70s episode, or as I like to call it, that 70s horror episode. And yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And it was that. That was another fun one to do, and we'll have another one next week, which will be all about the 80s. So they're coming out every Friday. As bonus episodes that are available everywhere, just like our regular episodes. And those just continue to be fun. I'm looking forward to continuing to do this. With that said, with those podcast episodes, there is a contest currently going on as well.
I'm going to win that contest, by the way.
You haven't even seen horror movies from the 30s.
Who says I haven't?
I do.
Frankenstein.
Good one.
The Mummy.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Dracula.
Yeah.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
50s, you're off. Okay, moving on. So now you can't win. Anyway,
disqualified.
We do have a contest happening right now. If you email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com or just message us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast. If you list your favorite horror films from each decade, as in 20s, this, 30s, this, and go on to now, we'll enter you into a raffle, and the winner of that raffle will get a stack of horror Blu-rays that I have. I have so many.
Nice. Signed?
Of course, sign.
Okay.
Because I want to ruin them for everybody.
You're signing it on the right side.
On the disc itself.
You just
on the bottom.
You just color all of it.
You're signing with a key, just scratching it in the bottom of the Blu-ray.
Aaron! That's so mean. You won! Oh, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. Yeah.
You're ridiculous.
It's like you want to play a game on the other side. It's like, oh.
Yeah, it's a Saw challenge to watch these Blu-rays.
Each one is the ode to a different horror movie. The next one says, you're next.
Okay. But yeah, that contest is going on now. It should be pretty easy to do, pretty easy to answer. So just, yeah.
And your chances of winning are probably 100%.
Pretty
good. I'm just saying.
Well, with that said, speaking of things that are simple to do, iTunes reviews and ratings, good to get those. Helps out our show, helps other people find our show. If you just log into iTunes, search Out Now There and Abe, and possibly give us a star review, maybe even add a sentence or two. It'd be wonderful and help us keep doing the show and being happy about it, because we understand that people are happy to write about how much they love it, which we have plenty of reviews saying that so far. So
I think there are mostly 5-star reviews.
Why not just join that?
Yeah.
Why not join that list of people that want to just
peer pressure
the show?
It works.
I mean, if you've stuck with us this far for this first 7 minutes of nonsense, then clearly we're doing something right.
Actually, 5 minutes and 39 seconds. But yeah.
It feels like an eternity. That's what I think people are saying.
Well, when you and I are together, it's always great.
Okay. I don't know why you're lacing this so much innuendo this week.
What? Innuendo?
Let's see. Other things. You done over there?
Abe's bringing the fury.
It's
lucky
he's going to slap you this week, by the way. I don't know what you're going for.
I'm okay.
Speaking of bonus episodes, tracking back a bit, new commentary has been recorded. Been teasing this one out, but it is one that features myself, Brandon Peters, and Jim Dietz, and we talk about a certain Carpenter film. And so yeah, that'll be released hopefully sometime this week, but we'll see. But that was a fun one to record, and I know Jim Dietz in particular was very happy to record it because it is one of his favorite movies, if not his favorite movie of all time.
Interesting.
Yeah. So with that out of the way, one more thing before we get to the show. Happy birthday, Ken.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Feels good to be another year older. Almost. For it is actually on Monday. But by the time this podcast comes out,
It will have passed.
Yeah.
It would have been your actual second birthday of the podcast.
Because we did a podcast last year with
you. I think so.
Wow. Yeah.
Talking about Carrie.
Yeah.
Was it Carrie?
Yeah, Carrie along with...
Who else was that? Was that
Matt?
Matt
Blaine.
Matt
was
here. Yeah.
Oh,
Matty B.
He gave his Carrie recap.
First podcast ever.
That was great.
Yeah, that was. That was a lot of fun. People
should
listen to that episode.
They
Carrie
should
episode
listen
to
it. Yeah.
Where our friend Matt Blaine breaking his podcast.
He did do a really good
recap
review.
The entire 70s Carrie show.
It was great. I had never seen it.
That was a fun one. Anyway, moving on from things. Let's go on to the main show here. Let's get to our first segment. Know everybody. Each week we try to ask each other some questions, try to set the tone for the podcast, and better get to
know everybody.
Like somehow Ken and I did this amazing. Ken's been on maybe like 4 podcasts. I'm sitting next to you,
and
you could not get this.
I was trying to still make sure that our listeners were aware that we're not in the same room.
What?
Just kidding, we're in the same room.
Okay.
Anyhow.
I'm going to start because you're out of sorts. So
yeah.
I'm going to start this one off. You guys. Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys.
Thank you. What would you nickname your tank?
Oh.
The Sleepy Mikey? Is that a good tank?
The Sleepy Mikey? That's too long to write in white letters on your cannon tank.
What are you talking about? That cannon's huge. You could put a whole sentence on there.
It's along the gun. The turret. There's plenty of room.
That's where it's on.
Yeah.
That's where it's on in like movie.
I'd call it
what?
The Loudening.
The Loudening.
It's Lauding, like, you know, the appraisoning, but it's
oh, I got
Loudening.
It, yeah. And your spelling makes it sound less ridiculous.
Yeah. They're like, what's the Loudening? Oh, you'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ken?
I think I have to go with the Big Kahuna.
There you go.
Because I like their burgers.
They have tasty burgers.
They do.
It is breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, happy 20th anniversary, Pulp Fiction.
Is that a Sprite in your cup?
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this out?
I do, actually. This is mine.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Okay. So there. Okay.
Yeah.
Big Kahuna and the Loudening.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. My question for you guys. If you guys had to pick your team of tank crew, so you have to have 2 front-end gunners, some tank guy, or the actual
tank guy,
the
tank.
Actual missile shooter guy, the Shia LaBeouf
the
character,
no,
and then
the
loader.
Character's the loader,
and you guys are the lead. You guys are the
war daddies.
Yeah, war daddies. Thank you. Who's on your team?
Like,
can be fictional. Can be fictional.
Can be fictional.
Yeah.
So I can just choose just random people.
Captain Planet.
Okay. Well, why would I have? He's the guy of peace and nonsense. Like, why would I have? He'd be like the least effective. He'd be like the blur of the
If
Logan
you threw
Martin.
Mud on him, that's right. Yeah. If you threw mud,
I get
him,
like the other the Captain Toxic or whatever his name is, but like the one with the. One
yeah,
the
I forget what his name is too.
But if the enemy's clear cutting the fields. Captain Planet might fight on your side.
What, like Don Cheadle? Yeah,
Don
exactly.
Cheadle, yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
okay,
so I like that.
This is a team effort. I don't think we need two sets. Either. All right. So Don Cheadle, Captain Planet, he's one.
As your...
As one of the gunners.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. I would also have Genghis Khan as another gunner. I feel like he just have a blast. He just have
fair
to
enough.
Fight him up the blast. He'd have a blast.
Yes.
I think Gimli would do well on this team.
You think Gimli would?
I think Gimli would be great.
Would
he be too rotund?
No, he'd be a loader.
He'd be a loader. Yeah.
Okay.
I could see him doing great at that.
His dwarf hands would be really good.
Though him with Genghis Khan, I think there'd be some conflict.
No,
well,
get along.
No one
tells
that.
It's about a building ground in a relationship.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
Good point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who would be shooting this time?
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yes. Yes, I like that.
I'm a Nazi.
Yeah.
Guys, there's Germans up there.
Okay.
We got Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan,
Don Cheadle.
And then the loader is
Gimli. The loader is
Gimli. And then
Shooter's Mark Wahlberg.
And you guys
and
are
the war daddies and all this. Somehow we're guiding this team.
I feel great.
I think
it'll
work out.
I feel kind of amazing.
Fellowship of the Tank. Yeah, like it.
Yeah.
Like it a lot.
So let's move on. That was a good question, Abe. Anything I can...
That's how we play.
Abe, I'll get to it when I get to it. Don't interrupt me.
Okay, all right.
I was just saying that's a good way to lead off a know everybody question.
That is a good question.
Yeah. Now we have established team. It's pretty...
Teamwork.
Pretty macho. And
yeah.
And anything with Gimli is pretty macho.
Well,
it's
a lot
like
of hair
Gimli
shedding.
Calendar, by the way, it's just him, like, making, like, poses.
That's... Is he with other dwarves?
His beard's in
kind
different molds each time.
His beard's
time.
Like,
yeah.
he's so far up in his mouth, he's like...
the judge style?
Yeah.
That'd be gross.
Just like the daughter of the judge. And, and
the
mother. The
weird
the
incestuous vibe that they're giving after that scene.
Yeah, because that's
gross.
If there's one thing that the judge needed more of, it's incest humor.
Yeah.
Classic.
They needed none of that, actually.
Can't get enough of that.
Yeah. Can't get enough of that love. Anyway.
Can't get enough of that golden
with all of that. With all that being said, I think that's how we play.
Know everybody. Oh, that worked out.
Much better, guys.
We're getting the approval from the judges.
It's nice that the meetings have been going well. That's all I'm thinking about.
The meetings?
Yeah, of us getting this together right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like the
rehearsals.
AA meetings.
So let's move on now. Let's get down to quickies.
TM.
Each week on Now we have one main movie of the week that we talk about. Like, that's another movie that's here. And we talk about quickies.
TM.
I got that was not
that
bad.
Was yeah you
got
like,
it. This sounded quick. But
it's
I,
just
I
it's just memory recall.
Yeah, total recall, as some would call it. Anyway, Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I have. I watched Gross Point Blank.
You watched Gross Point
yesterday
Blank?
Yesterday on Netflix.
You watched my favorite movie of all time?
Is it your favorite movie of all time?
It's almost like we did a podcast where I explained about this.
Well, sometimes it revolves around, like,
yeah,
Fight Club.
Yeah, it's my de facto full for all intents and purposes.
Pretty fun. Pretty fun.
Thanks.
Dan Aykroyd? Pretty funny guy. He's gonna go places.
He's gonna go places.
Yeah, he's getting into the game a little late, but he's gonna go places. Dan Aykroyd.
He's a soul man.
Yes, he is. I was going to make another Chicago joke reference, but I can't figure it out.
He wears the sunglasses. He wore his sunglasses at night before it was cool.
Yes, Stunner Shades.
So you watched Gross Point Blank?
I did, yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
Ken, have you seen any other movies this week?
I have. I'm going to kind of take this one from Aaron, because yesterday we watched Pulp Fiction together.
Why you got
to
take it from Aaron?
I got
I know Aaron's got plenty.
Robin the Hood.
But I... as Aaron said, it's the 20th anniversary of the Pulp Fiction's release, if I could say it.
Pulp Fiction.
Exactly. So we decided to watch it in all its 1080p glory in this recent Blu-ray release.
It has a wonderful Blu-ray.
It's
pretty incredible.
Really good.
But it sounds amazing as well.
I actually finished an anime series called Attack on Titan.
I'm still watching that.
I really enjoyed
nine.
It. So going in anime, I always like to be surprised, so I intentionally don't research it much, so which leads to me being misinformed about a lot of things. And in this one, I didn't realize it was an ongoing series.
Yes.
And then I researched more and realized it's a long way away from being finished. So I'm kind of disappointed in that way. Yeah. But I'm really glad I watched it.
Each episode is kind of emotionally draining for me.
Yeah. It's very rated R. It's very, like, sad at times.
I like people to add, die, by the way.
But it's really good. So I'd recommend it if you like more mature anime.
And streaming on Netflix.
It is. Yeah, that's where I watch it. And fit a watch your next. Because during October, I like to watch a couple horror movies. And so
I just watched Your Next again pretty recently, too, because I saw The Guest, which I talked about on the show before.
Yes, you did.
And it's sort of the same writing-directing duo, Simon Barrett and Adam Wingard. It's fun.
But yeah, that's about everything I've seen. Aaron, what have you seen?
I saw the film Book of Life. This is the new animated film from producer Guillermo del Toro, directed by Jorge Gutierrez. It features Diego Luna, Channing Tatum, and Zoe Saldana. The story, it's basically a kind of, it's romance that's adventure mixed with the theme of Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos. And it's a really good animated film. I was very happy to see it. I was very happy to be so warm to it because when it's not Pixar and it's not certain DreamWorks films that you kind of have a certain
and some Disney films of late.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph
and Frozen. And the upcoming Big Hero 6, which was also like so much fun. I mean, you look at one of these, you know, kind of like cheaper animated films that comes from a different studio. Like, it's not even Blue Sky and Fox. It's not some of these other ones that we get. And I was very happy to see that. It was just a really good film. Like, the animation style is very interesting because it's told as kind of a story from a book. Like, there's kind of layers into the story, and so the characters are
like narrated.
It has bookends.
Gotcha.
And it goes into what the story is, so you can kind of accept that the characters are all like marionette puppets. Like, that's
now I like that the story. The movie's called The Book of Life.
There's a reason as to why they're animated to look this way.
Gotcha.
And but you get the story. That's a romance swashbuckler, essentially, that just takes place in like early 1900s Mexico, and it's about three characters. There's one female and these two guys that are kind of vying for her love. They've grown up together, and what makes it neat is that it's not about like one of them being like a huge jerk and the other not. Like, they're just characters that are, they're all very, they're developed and interesting people, and because you have that core foundation, everything that goes around it, it's just fun and interesting. You have all this interesting, this kind of Mexican flavor to it, which is very deliberate because they're trying to deliver on what the Day of the Dead means.
I do enjoy Mexican food.
And there is Mexican food as well as all-you-can-eat churros.
Is that really?
There's a joke about all-you-can-eat churros. And it's just, but it's very funny, it's very stylish, it's very colorful. I don't say, like, go see this in 3D, but it's certainly a movie that's like, if you watch it in 3D, it's not a bad choice at all.
Are there songs?
There are songs.
Okay.
And they're actually modern songs that are turned into, have a kind of a Spanish flavor to them. Like Radiohead's Creep, for example.
Interesting.
It's a ballad version from a mariachi perspective.
Yeah.
There's things like, and it has stuff like
that. That itself is worth probably checking out.
It has stuff like that where it's kind of pop culture humor, which I sometimes kind of frown at because, like, how timely will this be? But it's not, like, it's not taking it from, like, now. It's taking it from kind of all over.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like it'll be
Christopher Columbus jokes.
It won't feel too dated in the same way as, like, something like Shark Tale will, where it's like that.
I never watched Shark Tale.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You never have.
That's the Will Smith one, right?
Yeah.
All
right. Like, everybody. Shark Tale is, like, him, De Niro, Scorsese, Jack Black, Angelina Jolie, Zellweger. There's a lot of people with Shark Tale. That's part of why that movie is what. That's why DreamWorks gets that weird thing. It's like, let's just cast big people. Who cares if they're good voice actors? Let's just cast people that are big.
And they change their attitudes.
They have,
which is like for the better. Exactly. Yeah.
Regardless, Book of Life, really wonderful film. What I meant to say too, it's because Del Toro's kind of fingerprints are all over it. It's certain, and I'd imagine, I mean, Jorge Gutierrez and the people involved in writing it and whatnot. It has a level of darkness in there that I appreciate. It's not ever, like, super sad or super depressing or super dark, but it has that more kind of, like, 80s kids movie vibe of it's not afraid to do things that are you know, always just fun and family-friendly. It allows itself to go to certain places that can, you know, provoke a different response.
Yeah.
And that's something that Guillermo del Toro toyed with in, like, Rise of the Guardians, which is not a movie I love, but I still enjoyed, and I enjoyed a lot part of it because it has that kind of layer of darkness added to it.
I'm getting goosebumps right now because I'm remembering the part why he becomes Jack Frost. And I was like, oh, right. Yes, that was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Book of Life, and I just want to, I like talking about that movie because I'm glad that it got a strong response critically and made a good amount of money that's in its opening weekend here, and I think it's just a movie worth seeing, regardless of, you know, age, because I wanted to see it, and I was happy that I did see it.
I do enjoy animated films all the time.
So that was Out Now Quickie's Not So Quick.
TM!
Let's move on now. Let's get to trailer talk. Each week we discuss one of the latest movie trailers, when they're coming out, what we thought of it, and what have you. And this week we have a new film from director Ron Howard re-teaming with crush star Chris Hemsworth himself. A man with the smile worth a million bucks in my eyes. It's a film called In the Heart of the Sea. This is a story of the whaling ship F.B. Essex, which is the boat which that kind of the events of this ship that took place in the ship inspired the story of Moby Dick. So that interests me right there, because I don't necessarily need another Moby Dick movie, but seeing this angle on it, that's something pretty neat. And by the looks of this thing, it looks pretty awesome. I tend to look at Master and Commander as kind of this unheralded masterpiece. I think that movie is kind of brilliant for being what's essentially like a very expensive art house film that takes place on the sea and looks very complicated to make.
Mm-hmm.
This gave me that kind of vibe watching the trailer for this movie, and I really hope it delivers on that. So that's kind of my thoughts on it right there, because I think Ron Howard might be delivering something pretty good here. And Chris Hemsworth has certainly proven himself to be someone that's a better actor than just, you know, playing Thor.
Right.
Which is also, you know, he does a good job as Thor, but I mean, as we saw in Rush, which was one of your top 10 favorite movies of last year.
I'm going to bring that up.
Well, on front of the show, Mark Hogan and whatnot. I think there's a lot to look forward to in a movie like this. But hey, what do you think of this trailer?
So, exactly what you said, this is a reteaming of Ron Howard and Chris Hemsworth. I enjoyed them immensely in Rush. I thought Rush was, I think you and I both agree that Rush was one of the most
one of the most underseen movies.
Movies.
It got, like, love, especially, like, in Rule's character in particular, too. Like, right. A lot of people might be sure of Oscar nomination.
Did he get, like, a Golden Globe?
Globe, he got a BAFTA, and he got a SAG nomination.
Yeah.
But he didn't get an Oscar nomination.
Right, and then the sound design in Rush was amazing.
Yeah.
And the sound design in this trailer was really good, too. There's a part where the tails came up. Sounds like a bunch of jet engines that are going off, so the way that they're mixing it. I'm curious to see how the story pans out, but again, right now, I have full faith in Ron Howard, and I have full faith in Chris Hemsworth, so I'm on board with this movie.
I like in the trailer, it says from director Ron Howard, from the director of Apollo 13.
Yeah, Apollo
13. Beautiful Mind.
Right.
I wish just once it would be like, from director Ron Howard, star of the Andy Griffith Show. Director of Splash.
Good.
Director of Splash and Night Shift.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton. Ken, what did you think of the trailer?
I'm excited solely because every time I see Ron Howard's name, I feel like I have reason to get excited about the film. But now I pulled up Ron Howard's filmography of everything he's directed, and there's been a couple blemishes, like The Dilemma. Was not exactly my cup of tea. And Da Vinci Code, I would argue with others, I really was not really a fan of.
You're not in a, that's not a minority opinion.
Oh, I know. I've definitely gotten into big, heated arguments about whether Da Vinci Code's worth seeing or not. But that being said, I love Cinderella Man, I love Apollo 13, I love so many of his movies. I actually have not seen his recent one, Rush, that you guys were highly recommending. I heard great things.
Yeah,
I remember listening to your podcast on it, so one day I'll get to it. So,
please listen to it with a great sound system. Yeah.
Yeah, I will, actually.
You'll be pleased.
The visuals look great. Brad Pitt just seems to just...
Chris Hemsworth?
Oh, well, what's that? Oh, I was thinking of something else, Brad Pitt. My apologies. Chris Hemsworth has been...
Freudian slip, huh?
Yeah, he's been really been on... It is Freudian slip. He's really been on a roll. I'm excited to see him in another film. I have no reason to not see this movie when it comes out.
It looks really exciting.
It does.
I brought up Night Shift. There's also The Paper with Michael Keaton.
Yes, The Paper. That's another one that people haven't seen that much of.
Yeah,
that's a really good movie.
That's another example of like how Michael Keaton's a great actor. And,
yeah,
because he doesn't get a chance to showcase this very much.
And also, Glenn Close is really mean in that movie.
We're talking a lot about The Paper.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Yeah,
it is a good movie, though.
Ron Howard movies.
Marissa Tomei's in it.
Don't get me started on Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
In the Heart of the Sea, Horizon Theaters, March 15th next year. And
2015.
Looking forward to it.
We're getting close.
Yeah, we are getting close. So with that in mind, let's move on now. Let's get to our main film review for Fury.
That's home.
I've never even seen the inside of a tank.
You will. I started this war killing Germans in Africa. Now I'm killing Germans in Germany. Been with these fine gentlemen for years.
These troops get by you.
We're all dead in the water. All we got is you. I won't ask you to do anything I haven't done myself.
Comp check.
Photo check.
Security check.
Bob check.
Bob check.
Ideals are peaceful. History is violent.
All right, so that should have been some of the trailer for Fury. This is the new film with Brad Pitt, who stars as War Daddy.
War Daddy.
War Daddy. He has an actual name. It's Don War Daddy Collier. He's the head of a 5-man tank crew. And after losing a man, Logan Lerman, from Perks of Being a Wallflower, as Norman, he's assigned to the crew, which also includes Shia LaBeouf, who plays Bible, Michael Pena, who plays Gordo, and John Bernthal, whose name is so dirty I don't feel like saying it on the podcast. Together, they proceed and further into Nazi Germany in the final stages of World War II with the question of Norman's abilities in the battlefield at play. It'll be important for Norman to do what he needs to do, though, if he wants his men to survive in this new film from writer-director David Ayer. So yeah, lots of people in this movie. We have David Ayer, who you, Abe, and I, we've talked about quite a bit in terms of being very hot and cold.
Right.
I'm going to say right now, Ken has not seen Fury, so he's going to kind of step out of this conversation. Mm-hmm.
But he's going to bring some great questions.
Sure, he will.
Maybe.
But it's a World War II movie. It's a new step for David Ayer. Not necessarily new, but in terms of directing it is. He has previously, he was one of the co-writers on U-571. That's actually his first screenplay. But yeah, it's a step back from, you know, gritty cop movies, especially ones centered in L.A., so
that's true. Yeah,
I mean, we'll go over David Ayer later because I think we have some stuff related to that in the feedback section. But with all that said, Abe, what did you think of Fury?
You know, I think it's like a tale of two movies because I didn't really enjoy the first half as much. I enjoyed the second half much more.
Where do you say the second half begins?
Right after they have lunch with the two German women.
I think it's more of just the entire second act.
Yeah. So second act So because the first part, I thought that the writing was actually kind of weak in the first part of the film. Some of the acting was very like superficial and kind of off the cuff because there were parts where I just wanted to slap Logan Lerman. And sure, you can argue that because I wanted to slap him, he did a good job and effective at emoting the lines that he was given. But at the same time, it just became very, not really procedural, but they were trying to create a lot of angst where I didn't really need to have a lot of angst. The second part of the movie I thought was really fun, really dramatic, really dark, really action-heavy, and I enjoyed that part much more. The good news is that David Ayer, I think, did a pretty solid job directing this one. Writing, again, the first half I'm not so sold on, but I'm glad that this is one of his better movies rather than his terrible movies, because not a lot of tank movies have existed. You've seen a lot of World War II movies, but I think this one brings a little different spin on it too, which is war is really depressing. There's no question about it. And these guys are fully depressed. They've been in this war for such a long time. Like the trailer probably mentioned, they started out in Africa, now they're in Germany, and like what Aaron mentioned, this is kind of the tail end of the war. This is a fictionalization. This is not a true story. But for the most part, I mean, I'm pretty certain that at a certain point you just have to accept that death is all around you and it's so gloomy that you really can't see an end to it and you just have to live every day in the moment, you know, doing your job.
So it's funny. I think the movie's okay. I disagree with some of your points, which I'll get to, but I think the movie's okay overall, which I think is kind of where you are as well.
Yeah.
But, I do think the acting's quite strong throughout the film, with the kind of the exception of the third act for reasons that you don't really have much to work with beyond just yelling "Die Nazi" and variations on that.
True.
So it just kind of drops off at the end there. But I think the initial parts of the film are very well acted. The problem with that is it's well acting with characters that are nothing. There are no characters in this movie. They're just very one-dimensional. They literally have nicknames which describe exactly who they are, and that's all the variation you get on who they are. Michael Pena plays Gordo, and he speaks Spanish occasionally. There's nothing else that distinguishes...
Gordo is Spanish?
There's nothing else that distinguishes who Michael Pena's character is, except for the fact that he's the Spanish one.
Yeah, so just to jump in really quickly,
yeah.
I, I found it hard to latch on to a protagonist that you're supposed to root for because I know nothing about him.
Exactly.
And I felt very little empathy, and I felt very little regard for anything that he has to do.
And with the exception of not wanting to see American soldiers die in a movie where you're supposed to be supporting the American soldiers as opposed to the Nazis, because that's not a movie, there's no real reason for me to care about these people. And because of that, the movie doesn't become very memorable. You look at a movie like Saving Private Ryan, where the characters, a majority of them may not be incredibly well thought out and whatnot, but you have a key set of people there. You have Private Ryan, you have Tom Hanks' character, you even have...
You got Barry Pepper's character, which is my favorite character.
And they have these little moments that are
talking to. And I'm so sad.
And now it's not necessarily fair for me to compare a movie like this to Saving Private Ryan.
Right, I wasn't going to make that comparison either.
But at the same time, there are ways for movies like this, and there's been a lot of World War II movies, that can deliver on characters and on the action and on whatever the topic of said war is. I think the movie does lack a lot in the way of designing these characters in a way that makes you care about them more. With that said, I do think that the middle scene in this movie, which is an entire break from the rest of the film, which is also kind of repetitive, which is why I like that second act a lot, because mostly you're just getting cool tank action. And by the way, tank action's pretty cool. I haven't seen tank action before, so like a modern type place.
Exactly,
here.
I'm sure with the placement of the cameras that they could do now, it's a lot
cooler. The way they're showing tank action's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I would say the first act is kind of repetitive on showing you, like, they go here, they shoot things, they go there, and they shoot things. You get to that third act, it's really exciting, girl, variety of reasons.
Run before, I ain't running now.
What's that?
We're gonna fight it out.
We can't.
I'm gonna hold this crossroad.
What are you doing? What do you want to do? You want to shed here?
We're gonna hold this
you
crossroad.
Want to shed here? Hold off the ASS battalion.
No, it's not what I want to do, but it's what we're doing.
There's five of us.
Get your fighting position. Mount up.
Fighting position when we ain't got a tank. How are we gonna fight?
We got a cannon.
No, that don't make sense.
So I think I think the third act is just better because of the excitement. I don't think it's necessarily because it's a better part of the film, like in terms of screenwriting, visual play, and whatever else. It's just that I learned a little bit more about these characters.
Yeah,
and I learned more about
a sense of stakes involved too, because there's a very specific thing they're doing in the third act of this film involving their tanking, which is basically given away in the trailer because there's not much story here.
I know
that's the other problem.
Which
with the
movie. It was a problem when I saw the second trailer. I was like, oh, that's the problem. That's the issue right there.
That's where it all ends in one spot.
Yeah.
With that said, that moment in the second act. I'm not going to dive too far into it, but they do take a break. They reach a town.
Yeah,
Brad Pitt and Logan Lerman's character, they try to do something that, like, reignites their humanity, where they can kind of take a break from the killing and the war stuff and just kind of play house, in a way.
That's how they describe it in the film, too.
What makes it incredibly awkward is the way they're approaching this, and I really like what David Ayer's trying to do in that whole sequence, and it eventually involves the rest of the tank crew as well.
Yes.
It's a way of being incredibly frustrated, also somewhat interested in what could happen here, and very tense about what could happen here, all at the same time. But there's such nastiness going on with the varying characters involved in the scene that it makes it, like, really weird to try and engage with, because, again, you don't know these people.
So that scene itself, I thought that the scene was really oddly placed until it continued, and I was thinking, oh, okay, so I see what he's trying to do here. Because it's a long scene.
It is
it's
a long.
Very long.
Yeah.
Like, you think that it's going to be, like, 2 minutes? It's
more
like 10 or 12 minutes.
It's like a good 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, it's pretty lengthy. And I was thinking, this is an odd place to have something like this here. But you're right, I don't know anything about these characters. I don't really care about them. So I also don't really have any reason to think that they're going to do anything bad, because you know enough about Brad Pitt's character and Logan Lerman's character to know that they're not bad people, as opposed to some of the other tank crew members. None of them are bad
people. None of them are bad
people.
It's just the way they're reacting based on all the war they've been
through. Exactly. Based on the experience that they've been in. So the experience itself there was just really strange, because you think that there might be, like, some sort of spy situation, but there's not really a spy situation. So
it's a very straightforward movie when you look at it. Like,
it is.
It's just basically a tank rolls from here to there.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
But the problem that I had with that particular
scene.
Yeah, segment of the movie is just you're supposed to understand Brad Pitt's, like, his war problems, because his back is all scarred. He's also really buff in this movie. Crazy, like, Fight Club buff. And I was like, yeah, maybe I should work out more. But then the other characters come into play.
I'm sure there's never been other times in your life when you looked at Brad Pitt and you were like, I don't need to work out more.
Yeah, I mean, watching Moneyball, I'm like, I should stress work out like he does in Moneyball. But the other characters come into play, or into the scene, and I kind of didn't like the way that they were portraying Brad Pitt's character, because he's this tank commander.
See,
he's
I appreciated what he was.
There was almost
what
like
was
a,
going on.
Well, there was almost like a break in the order, because it's just like, okay, well, clearly he doesn't have control over his men except for in the tank. And I didn't like the way that they were kind of disrespecting his orders in this particular dinner room setting.
I could certainly say I was frustrated by the actions being taken, but I can't say I disagreed with the way things were going down. Again, it's not about who these characters are at this point. That would help. That would maybe make it all work better. But the acting in that whole scene, I think, is very good from everyone involved, including the other parties involved there.
True. Yeah.
And the other character, I mean, like Michael Pena, who's ostensibly comic relief, I guess, if there's one character that
right.
really leans that way. But
I mean, he's wearing a top hat in this.
But someone like Jon Bernthal, who is played Shane on Walking Dead, he does a very good job of playing a jerk. A huge jerk. Like, this is me censoring myself, but he's not a nice guy. And while there isn't much depth in these characters, you do get semblance of things that make it work for the most part, which is why I like this movie enough, beyond just the action. I think there's enough there with the, because the actors are so good in this movie, including Labib. And I know. Labib's never a person I had a problem with as an actor.
So I wanted to bring that up specifically, because I actually enjoyed him in this movie. Because I felt as though he was actually really acting, or taking it seriously. I didn't see Nymphomaniac, which people say he's pretty good
in, too.
Yeah. But I was thinking, wow.
I think there are stories about Labib in this movie. He, like, cut his face and removed a tooth so he could be...
I noticed the tooth thing, and I was wondering, did he just wear a cap?
He didn't take showers on set, so he could just keep being in the
I guess he's trying to go all method now, trying to be the next Jimmy
Lewis.
But he's got great scenes where he's really crying, and I was like, wow, this is good on you.
So you bring that up, and that's kind of the thing that I almost take issue with, because him crying in scenes, it's not that I don't dislike the passion he's trying to put in, but it seems like he leans on that a lot in the movie. Like, you see him do that same kind of teary-eyed face a lot throughout the film, and it's like...
I mean, his nickname is Bible.
But it feels like, it almost seems like a crutch for him to prove that he's a dramatic actor, that he can do something like this.
So that's a good point. I mean, that's a good counter to what I'm saying, but I still enjoyed his acting.
I agree. I still enjoy his acting for the most part. It's the same thing with Logan Lerman, who I think eventually...
I was reminded of what you said about Paul Dano and how he looks like you want to beat him up all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Logan Lerman... Maybe it's because he was in Perks of Being a Wallflower and he's kind of like a quiet guy in there. But he seems like a guy that I just want to be like, I just want to shake the hell out of him. He's like, dude, come on! Like, wake up!
I mean, I would say he's the weakest of the five tank crew.
And he's, again, like,
actors.
He's supposed to be the guy that you attach to the most because he's new.
He's the
most. He's supposed
he's
to be the character.
To an audience surrogate.
Right. And it's like, he doesn't really do anything for me, because in this situation, I would be like, okay, I've been put in this situation. I need to work with my tank crew to do whatever I can do to help them survive.
Yeah, and so it's hard to relate to him when he's not doing these things, even though you might even want to do these things. And it's tricky. With that said, Brad Pitt, very good in this movie.
Brad Pitt's always good.
I mean, he's very consistently good in this.
Yes.
But he plays a lot with silence in this movie, and I like that. I mean, he speaks when he has to, he yells when he has to.
Yeah.
He does some bad things.
These guys
aren't that good in this movie, by the way. I mean, there is like a war crime, essentially, that happens in this film.
There's a lot of war crimes. Yes. Not only that, but there's also a lot of, like... Anyway. But Brad Pitt... The reason why I was a writer of Saving Private Ryan is because Brad Pitt has those quiet moments where he's got to internalize a lot of things. And you kind of felt that with Tom Hanks at times, too, with his hand shaking a little bit. But Brad Pitt's character... I also thought that he spewed out, like, these beautiful nuggets of, like, war knowledge at very, like... opportune times. Like, okay, David Ayer, I get it that he's like this like grizzled war veteran, but at the same time, like, I don't need to know that he knows so much about the philosophy of war that he's got to tell it to Logan Lerman's character, which is in turn telling it to the audience.
Well,
like,
it's a misplaced sense of knowledge where you're supposed to understand his character is because he spouts these kinds of lines as opposed to actually developing the character, and that kind
of good point.
It doesn't help.
Yeah. It's like, you see all these people. Ideals are peaceful. War is messy. And then he just leaves the scene. It's like, okay. Thanks a lot, Brad Pitt. So, I did like his character, but I thought that there were sides of him that David Ayer wanted to explore. Again, like, he has a line where he says, if you're not going to take her into the room, I am. And I was like, I guess he wanted to explore some of the darker depths of Brad Pitt's character, but he just never got around to
the whole war is hell theme. I mean, there's just not much in this movie in terms of, like, motifs and where... what it could be examining. It's not like you look at this movie and see how it relates to today or anything. It just feels like a pretty straightforward war pick that just happened. Like, its main intent is to show you that war is hell. Like, that's really all that's good. If there's more going on, I'd love to hear about it. I would read that article. I'd love for someone to write in to us and tell us what they think was going on in relation to the current
day. Love to hear other people's thoughts about it as well.
For what I saw, it's just a very dark war film that has some very excellent action in there. I think it has some excellent acting in there. That's not the same as characters. Those are two different things. But I think given the scenes that they have and what they're supposed to do with those scenes, the actors do a very good job of that.
Agreed.
Can I throw in a question?
Yes.
What does this movie do that's not done better in other war films? I've heard nothing that sounds unique.
I think Aaron's point about the tank warfare
is
probably the best.
Okay.
Thing. Yeah, so it's not so much like oh, let me just stationary tank versus stationary tank.
Yeah.
They actually have some really dynamic
you see how they kind of function, how they function in combat, what a real intense tank battle is.
But to that point, don't be surprised when Brad Pitt's tank is the only tank remaining.
Because
it's a David Ayer movie at the end of the day.
Well, because of the five main characters in the film are all in one tank.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of war movies. I mean, and we'll get to that later on as well.
Yeah.
In terms of kind of originality, I mean, it comes from the team of actors you're watching and seeing them function inside of a tank. And just getting another kind of look at war. It's certainly made from, this time as opposed to in the past, in the 50s or in the 60s later on.
So one last gripe that I have is I don't really know about the passage of time in this movie. So I never really got a sense of...
it's 2 days.
Exactly. So that's why Logan Lerman's character changed a lot in 2 days. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all.
I mean, it's not something I really faulted with. I feel like... given the stakes of the circumstances he was involved in, I can take that.
And I understand that too, learning quickly and whatever else, but the sense of time, I'm glad that you said 2 days, because that's what I was trying to count.
It is.
So, same.
If that.
Same problem. Anyway.
Alright. So, with that said, let's rate Fury then. What do you think? When should people go see Fury?
I'd say DVD.
Really? Go that far?
Yeah.
I think in terms of the sound and visuals, it's a good big screen film. Let's go see it.
Big screen, right now?
Yeah, go see it right now. It's a fine adult drama.
Yeah, I guess I had more problems with it.
To modify your rating, you should say Blu-ray instead of DVD.
Blu-ray.
That
way you can kind of see what you kind of could have seen in the theaters. And listen.
Let's move on now. Let's get the movie Callback.
Callback.
This is where we talk about me. This is where we talk about films that we thought of maybe during or after said movie. Of course, we're still talking about Fury. Abe, what movies did you think of?
So, Saving Private Ryan and also the documentary Bully. Because it seemed like they were bullying Logan Lerman.
Did you think of a good Bully? You couldn't think of a good documentary?
I just like the title Bully.
So, you couldn't think of Paranorman or Captain America?
I could have.
I thought of Captain America.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I thought of Saving Private Ryan. I thought of Bridge on the River Kwai. I thought of Casualties of War, actually.
A lot of war.
Vietnam. I thought of it.
It's funny that we didn't think of any comedies.
Didn't come across any, though.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Kelly's Heroes fits. It's a tank movie, and it's awesome.
Major Pain?
No.
Oh, okay.
And Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
Bunch of guys together doing a thing. Let's move on. Get to our sponsor. Each week, Out Now is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com. There's Out Now podcast. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 device if you're choosing. I don't have a specific book to recommend, but there are plenty of war history books, World War II books, that I'm sure are available in an Audible form. You can even get Unbroken, which we've recommended before, but that is coming out soon.
That's coming out on Christmas.
And it is a pretty amazing book.
Yeah.
I'm very curious now that I know that it's rated PG-13. It's like, what?
Is it?
Given the things that happened in that book, that story, that true story.
Right. That, no.
It's a little
we'll
weird,
see.
Right?
Yeah. But, I thought it was rated R.
No, it's rated PG-13. Mm. But a second trailer came out, and it looks amazing. So it's like, I don't know what to think here. What are you doing, Angie?
Joe. We call her Joe.
You call her Joe.
I'm friends with the Pitt family. Yeah. Shiloh is their daughter, right?
I don't.
Or is that a dog?
Okay. Shiloh is a dog, and I don't memorize the names of celebrity kids. So,
all right.
Unless it's Northwest.
Brangelina.
You're great friends with the family is what you're saying.
Yeah. I only watched their other kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
fair enough.
You can download any audiobook that you can find on audible.com to send a podcast. You can keep that book. You can check out the service. But if you don't like the service, you can get rid of it. But you get to keep that book that you download for free. So, be a winner.
Read.
Or listen. Audibletrial.com to send out podcast.
Aww.
Let's...
That was cute. I liked it.
Let's move on now. Let's get to our feedback.
Feedback.
This is where we talk about some of the various answers and questions that we received on our Facebook page, facebook.com/podcast. We have lots of answers this week and lots. Some good questions.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna start this one off. I asked, what are people's favorite Brad Pitt roles? And Ken, feel free to answer when you want to as well. Tina has Legends of the Fall. Elsa has Troy, and Philip responds, he was pretty dreamy in that one. Philip then responds, Billy Bean and Moneyball. Taryn has 12 Monkeys, Fight Club at 7. Chris Tyler has Floyd and True Romance, enough said. William Hill has 12 Monkeys. Lawrence has 7 is my fave. Manish has Aldo Rain from Inglourious Bastards and Billy Bean and Moneyball. Jason has 7 and Megamind and Inglourious Bastards.
He's got 2 scenes.
Scott has Inglourious Bastards. Matthew has 12 Monkeys in Fight Club. I hope someone says Benjamin Button so Aaron can comment, which Adam then responds. Glorious Bastards Fight Club and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, because as they were getting older, he was getting younger.
You can't see it, but I'm pointing at Aaron because I knew that line was coming. I knew that line was coming.
Oh, God.
Do you have any favorite Brad Pitt roles?
Oh, 12 Monkeys, no question, but that was said like 8 monkeys, times. Yeah. But yeah, he's great in that.
I mean, we've already talked about favorite movies, so yeah, Fight Club.
This is true, yeah. He's also not bad as Rusty in Ocean's 11.
I mean, ooh. I like that he's always eating. He's always
He's stress eating all the time.
Yeah, I do like him in Tree of Life quite a bit. I think he's very good in that movie as far as his acting goes. I think his Moneyball performance is very good as well.
Moneyball performance is really good. I enjoyed him as Billy Bean a lot. Next question we had is, David Ayer has had some hits, I just end up watching some misses like Street Kings. What are some of your favorite David Ayer projects? Even if they are guilty pleasures, like Harsh Times.
I don't know, Harsh Times is now a guilty pleasure.
Some people didn't really like it.
That doesn't make it a guilty pleasure. That means some people didn't like it.
But they still watch it and they enjoy Christian Bale's performance.
That doesn't make it a guilty pleasure. Guilty pleasure is like you don't like it, but you watch it anyway because it's like silly fun. Like perhaps Fast and the Furious, another David Ayer movie.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm an FBI agent. Why is he like 26? Anyway.
It's early Ethan. Keanu Reeves was young in Point Break. The same movie.
That is the same movie. Yeah. Adam writes End of Watch. Philip writes End of Watch. Isaac writes Harsh Times. And Jason writes Sabotage.
Okay. as far as his movies go, End of Watch. That movie was
great. Yeah. Not enough people saw that one.
As far as guilty pleasure, SWAT. I love SWAT.
Did he write SWAT?
He wrote SWAT.
Ah.
Because you're either SWAT or you're not.
That's like at the end, like Josh Charles' character dies, so like Sam Jackson just throws like the SWAT vest on his dead body. He's just like SWAT. It's like, oh well, I guess
SWAT's just solid. That's a fun.
$100 million, or is it $100 million? Right,
$100 million.
It's a lot of money. I mean, yeah.
That's another one where it's like period, where it's really just like it's there's nothing going on until the third act. And it's like, oh yeah, there's a plot now. It's like,
yeah, and also, what's his face is in there? Hawkeye himself.
Jeremy Renner is in there. Colin Farrell, Sam Jackson, LL Cool J, Michelle Rodriguez. I mean, that movie's got people. It's a fun movie.
Who?
We keep threatening to do commentary for SWAT because we should.
We should do commentary for SWAT.
SWAT commentary.
Yeah, Christmas.
Christmas commentary. It's SWAT.
Oh, Christmas SWAT.
It'd be, yeah.
We'll just see in the TV
Merry
too. We'll just see him sing that the whole
time. Yeah, I was like, I'm thinking of... because I was going with the final countdown as well. Yeah. I was like, how does it go?
So yeah, just David Ayer movies. He wrote E571, he wrote Training Day, he wrote Fast and Furious, he wrote Dark Blue, he wrote Harsh Times, he wrote SWAT, he directed Street Kings, it was terrible, he directed Harsh Times, it was okay, Christian Bale's quite good. And End of Watch, he wrote and directed Sabotage, he wrote and directed Sabotage, it is more of like he was brought onto
that came out this year.
Yeah, this year.
That came out this year.
Yeah, which is terrible. But he also came onto that project late in the game, so that makes me kind
of
feel
don't make excuses.
I know, but I read an interview with David Ayer about Fear, and he was talking about, you also had Sabotage. He's like, yeah, thank God that's over, right? Like, and so clearly he didn't seem like he came onto that like after the fact, which makes me kind of happy about
it. It was previously directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger, wasn't it? Like, give myself in a movie.
Who was that?
That was Arnold.
Who?
Arnold.
Who?
Schwarzenegger.
Who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, we don't need to do that ever again. And now David Ayer's tapped to do the Suicide Squad movie for DC Comics.
So ah, I'm excited about that. I don't know who that is.
That could be interesting. It's a lot of Batman villains combined, okay, and led by Harley Quinn.
Oh. Yeah, is this a comic book?
It's... Or I believe there's a comic book on it. Yes, it's a comic book.
Okay,
but it is a DC Comics team of villains.
That sounds so pretty interesting.
It's more interesting than a Sinister Six movie, I'll say that.
Paul Giamatti's going to be in it, maybe.
Yeah, and?
We'll see. Okay.
Okay. Our next question is, what's your favorite World War II movie? April has to be Saving Private Ryan, right? I think there's a lot more.
It's a pretty good one, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great choice. It's a top five. Even a top three, perhaps. I think
Indiana Jones
and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The Lost Ark. They fight some Nazis there.
In terms of clear cut, and we're going to read more here. But in terms of like clear cut World War II movies, Saving Private Ryan, yes, it is a great movie. It is a modern classic.
Yeah.
But there are other World War II movies that I don't think the argument just stops there at Saving Private Ryan.
No, I'd put Schindler's List above that.
I mean, it certainly gets
very good.
There you go. It certainly gets Private Ryan.
Dagger to my heart.
Let alone Schindler's List. They certainly get credit. Private Ryan gets credit for giving a very graphic portrayal of war.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that. But in terms of like the best World War II movies, there's other ones I can think of right off the top. Bridge on the River Kwai is an amazing movie, but let's move on.
Yeah.
Amy has Monuments Men was pretty fantastic. Not much agreement going on there.
I'm gonna disagree a little bit.
Going to see Fury this week. It looks great. Hope she enjoyed it. Scott Mendelson has Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2. I love that that's an answer that he put down, just because of the parables that he's going for.
It
makes it quite entertaining to me. But he also has Captain America. Matthew has Inglourious Bastards and Captain America. Adam has Saving Private Ryan, Patton, and the Dirty Dozen. Joe Jans has Shaving Ryan's Privates, a close second.
Oh!
Ben has Inglourious Bastards as his first pick. Trevor has The Thin Red Line, Das Boot, and Downfall. See, I play.
Das Boot is like submarine warfare. You should go check that out for submarine warfare.
Justin has Saving Private Ryan, Pearl Harbor. I just like the flight scenes. Fair. Windtalkers. Bridge on the River Kwai, Enemy at the Gates, Forgot Das Boot, Tora Tora Tora, U-571 is World War II, right? Yes, it is, because it involves U-boats. Guess what? Those are German. Guess what?
World War II.
Philip has Private Ryan, Captain America, Letters of Iwo Jima, and The Great Escape. Matt Terrell has 1941, y'all, because we didn't get enough Steven Spielberg references as it was, so let's get his overblown, big-budgeted mess of a movie that no one remembers.
Matt remembers it.
Apparently.
Matt's a good guy.
But no, yeah, thank you. Thank you for all those. But, yeah, I mean, I look at World War II movies. Yeah, Bridge on the River Kwai is amazing.
Or you can just watch PBS. They probably have a World War II documentary on right
now. I'd even go beyond that. Like, man, I know you're a huge Band of Brothers fan.
Yeah.
Band of Brothers is very good.
It's my favorite show of all time.
And we watched The Pacific together, which I think was pretty fantastic, too. I mean, Band of Brothers is
superior,
but
Pacific is still
fantastic.
It's
good stuff going on.
It is pretty good. I didn't think about a miniseries movie. Mm-hmm. Next, we'll move into the questions that you guys asked us. Phil asked us, what film do you guys think does the best job of showing the real destruction and tragedy of a war, but also pays proper respect to the courage, heroism, and sacrifice of the people who fight in it?
I mean, I don't think there's many movies that don't do that, as far as kind of straight World War II movies go, or, you know, even war movies go. I mean, there's bad war movies. I mean, there's Pearl Harbor, but
bad movie.
But even
that.
Like, it has a level of respect, I would guess.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, like, Private Ryan's an obvious big fan of Brothers is, like, an ultimate pick
for a
movie.
Not even just like World War II movies. War movies in general, like Black Hawk Down. I mean,
Black Hawk, yeah.
That showed a lot of U.S. deaths, which people probably weren't fond of.
See, I meant to bring this up too. There's another thing about Fury that I like quite a bit. It's not, I mean, there might not be like big character arcs in that movie, but it's also not full of melodrama either, which is something I can appreciate. And it's not a movie about celebrating American patriotism.
Yes,
I mean, it's a movie that's very cut and dry. Like, it could be about any war.
It reminds me of like what Scott said, like when people die on film, in films, like, does a filmmaker take the time to, like a moment out to you know, linger on that death for a while? It's like, no, in Fury, not really.
No, it
like,
doesn't. And
they die, and that's kind of the end of their character, and they've got to keep going.
Yeah, and it's an opposite of something like Lone Survivor, which is a movie I did not like, because
Lone
it does
Survivor,
that.
Yeah.
Because it takes that extra step to really martyrize the people
yeah.
who are being taken down.
It is
movie.
Not glorious. Yeah.
It's not
it's,
glorious. But
it's
it,
very
it's,
sad.
You know, there's like, you know, 18 shots going into a guy in slow motion because you're supposed to celebrate how amazing he is.
Yeah.
I'm not denying the fact that Navy SEALs are amazing people, But at the same time, there's a way to portray that in film, and I don't think that movie did that in the best of ways.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. Apparently, it got a made its money and got
and it did very well with the audiences.
Did well with that with the audiences. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of war movies that do it. I mean, I don't think there's any war. That would probably never be released.
There are bad war movies that do a bad job and things like that. I mean, but they're just ones that are memorable. That's the problem. That's why I can't think of them offhand, because you don't remember those movies. They're just bad movies.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the one with, like, Robert De Niro and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Men of Honor?
Yes, that one.
Well, I never saw it. That's not even a war movie. That's Navy guys practicing Navy stuff.
Okay.
That's more about...
The movie has merit.
Welding?
It does have merit. That's a movie more about kind of racial segregation and
acceptance
rather than actual, like, being in war and showing what heroics mean. There are heroic actions that take place in that movie, but it's a little different.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Good.
Philip has, have you seen A Scanner Darkly, and what do you think about it? I just like that that's a random question he has there. Maybe he was watching Richard Linklater movie.
Haven't seen it.
I love Scanner Darkly. I put that in probably the top five of Linklater, which is difficult because you have Before Sunrise, Sunset, and Midnight, so that's three movies right there. And then you have Boyhood,
which is
Days and Confused. So it kind of already drops out of the top five.
Yeah.
I put it in my top ten of Richard Linklater movies.
And all his future upcoming releases.
Yeah. But no, I think Scanner Darkly with Keanu Reeves and Woody Harrelson and Robert Downey Jr. It's a very interesting. It's a Philip K. Dick story. It has a very intriguing story. I love the
Philip K. Dick story.
Yeah, it has that kind of he experiments with this in A Waking Life, but it's that rotoscope thing again, where he filmed all the actors live and then painted over them.
Oh.
And it's I like seeing if Richard Linklater does a sci-fi movie, I'm glad that this was the one that he did. Because it's a very interesting movie, has a lot of neat ideas, and it's very fun to watch. I mean, this is pre-Iron Man Downey Jr., and he and Woody Harrelson are great together. They have a lot of fun stuff to work with.
It makes me happy.
And Keanu Reeves, who, I mean, put aside some, like, early roles, he may not be the best actor, but I think in the right role, he does a very good job in things.
I very much agree with that. Like, give him the right role.
And that's a movie he does a very good job in. He plays...
Kings? He was great.
Shut up. But and we'll talk about John Wick next week. But John
yes!
I keep seeing the commercial. And because, like, Man of Tai Chi was last year, and he had that line. He's like, you owe me a life. And I really like hearing that. This time, it's like, people keep asking me if I'm back. Well... I think I'm back. And
I like
this gravelly Clint Eastwood voice.
I just like how it's not like, I'm back. It's like, I think I'm back.
Yeah, the way he says it, but John Wick.
So.
This is we'll talk about this, but I mean, in the week where we had Equalizer and Walk on the Tombstones of Neeson and Denzel Washington, I'm glad John Wick exists. So, anyway.
Last question from Jason. Do you think a Ghostbusters reboot can work?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Reboot? Sorry.
Ghostbusters.
Oh.
I don't care.
I mean,
that's where I'm at with this.
I'm happy to see whatever comes out.
I'd rather it be in this front of the show, Randy Schaefer, who was on our Step Up episode. He made a good point of saying they shouldn't like try to reboot it. They should just expand the world.
Yeah.
Which makes so much more sense.
I don't know about a reboot, but I do like the idea of just continuation of the Ghostbusters.
Because if you want to do it, fine, do it. It's probably going to happen regardless. They keep talking about it. I was this way with Indiana Jones. It's not going to happen, but I came out and
it'd be the worst if they just actually did reboot it shot for shot and line for line with, like, I don't know.
No, that's... No.
Patrick Wilson. I like Patrick Wilson. He's a good guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Regardless. Just expand.
Freddy Rodriguez.
This is a world where ghosts exist. There is a lot you can do with that beyond just watch four guys in New York.
Go to a different city. Say 30 years later in New York. There's so many
things. If you want this all-female cast that they keep, which is what they're going to do, because Paul Feig of Bridesmaids and The Heat,
right,
with the writer of The Heat, a movie I did not like at all.
Heat with a D?
What?
Duh Heat?
No, it's never Duh.
Oh.
Okay. You asked this last week. It's never Duh.
No, the sequel is Duh.
I'm just so past the point of caring about a Ghostbusters sequel or remake or whatever. So when it happens, and I'll probably
also Bill Murray feels the same way that you feel.
Bill Murray's felt the same way since he made the first one.
He's openly said that the second one wasn't that good.
You've all said the second one wasn't that good.
Dan Aykroyd's like, not Dan Aykroyd, but Harold Ramis like, I wrote it.
Well, they both wrote it.
I'm
past the point of caring about Ghostbusters. I'm tired of hearing about it. Show me a slate that says Ghostbusters Day 1 and, like, I'll be happy, probably fine, but I don't need to keep hearing rumors and things.
Oh. I was just doing a slight thing for Aaron.
Thank you.
It didn't work out on the
not
radio.
At all.
Anyway. All right. Moving on.
Yes, should we move on?
Do you have something to cue up our next segment, Aaron?
Of course I do.
Oh, really? Because our next segment is games. Not furious enough.
War is hell, Abe.
Thanks. Thanks. That was depressing. So I've got two games.
You can say thanks, War Daddy.
Thanks, War Daddy. Daddy. I got two games. One of them is two questions. The other one is actually the bulk of the game. The first game is called Tanks a Lot, which Aaron came up with. Or how McBain would pronounce it, thanks, in a film title.
Thanks
so,
a lot.
Yes. So it'd be exactly. But you'd have to say tank instead of thanks, even though McBain doesn't say tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two questions here. You guys have to name the movie title. Ken, you're playing versus Aaron. Just
okay.
Buzzing.
Oh,
with your
is
name.
That how it's going?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, we have another audience member here, too, who might chime in, maybe. All right. So remember, the game is Tanks a Lot, or how McBain would pronounce thanks in a film title. Number one, a divorced dad is a national spokesman for Big Tobacco while trying to balance a role model he should be for his son.
Aaron. Thank you for smoking.
Yes, that is correct. All right, number two.
Well played.
Three drag queens travel cross-country until their car breaks down, leaving them stranded in a small town. You gotta say the entire title.
Aaron. Two Wong Fu, Tanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
That is correct. All right, the next
Scott,
game is...
Well, hold on. Two Wong Fu, Tanks for Everything, comma... Julie
See,
Newmar.
I was going to get you on that one, but I was like, okay, well, we've been letting it slip recently, but I shouldn't let you slip next time. All right. So the next game, which is the bulk of the game, is
okay.
Called, in other words, World War II Edition. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to name a movie title,
okay.
And I just change the words around. So an example would be Internally Beating Organs Battle, and the answer is Hearts War.
Hearts War. At least you had an example.
Yes,
that's
I know. I thought about
face.
That last night. All right, here we go. Notes from a Japanese Island.
Ken. Letters from Iwo Jima.
That is correct. Next one. Rival Near the Fence.
Ken. Oh, Enemy at the Gates.
That is correct. Next one. Minuscule Crimson Geometrical Plane.
Ken. Thin Red Line.
That is correct. Whoa. Come on, Aaron. Next one. Scarlet Behinds. Scarlet Behinds.
Ken? I don't think this is it, but Red Dawn?
That's not correct.
Hold on.
Aaron with the sweep?
Well, give me a chance to don't just knock down fingers.
Scarlet Behinds. I think Aaron might have this. I'm not sure. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Red Tails.
Oh,
Abe gets that
gosh.
One.
Gosh,
there's a terrible war.
Yeah.
Next. No one wants to remember that, Abe.
Sorry. Kingdom of the Star Earth Orbits. Kingdom of the Star Earth Orbits.
These are all World War II movies, right?
Yeah. Kingdom of the Star Earth Orbits.
Aaron. Empire of the Sun.
That is correct. Okay, two more. Officer of the United States, : Earliest Vindicator.
Aaron. Patton?
That's
no,
not correct.
That's
not it. Say it one more time.
Ken with the sweep. Officer of the United States, : Earliest Vindicator. Officer of the United States, : Earliest Vindicator. In 5, 4, 3...
Almost
2,
mine General Patton,
1,
so, I don't know.
Captain America, : the First Avenger.
Oh.
Abe gets that one.
That should have been an easy one.
And last one, Essence is Lovely.
Aaron. Life is Beautiful.
That is correct.
Oh.
Which is a very depressing movie. All right, let's see here. 1, 2.
You watched the first half. 3, 4.
Aaron he squeaked by. 4-3. Abe with 2. So congratulations.
The first game combined with the second game?
I did combine the first
game.
Okay,
I was like, really?
Yeah.
Dang it, that was so close.
Well, thanks a lot.
The goggles, they do nothing. That was games.
Great. Okay. Let's move on now. Let's get down. Let's get to Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These are movies that are coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, or streaming this week. And we have a lot here. Okay, so we have Snowpiercer.
Yeah, everyone should see that
everyone
one.
Everyone should see that one, and Abe's definitely wrong. Okay, moving on. Earth to Echo.
I never saw it.
It's a movie.
Okay.
The Purge Anarchy. I don't care. Care about these Purge movies. Sex Tape, which is about the least funniest movie I've seen in a very long time. Mainly because there were no laughs in what was supposed to be a comedy.
Was there a lot of fornication?
There's an amount.
Ah, okay.
See No Evil 2. There's a horror movie that's...
I didn't know this came out.
Scream Fest this week, and I want to mention it because it's directed by the Sosa sisters, who have proven themselves well in the horror genre.
Okay.
Speaking of the horror genre, Wrong Turn 6, Last Resort.
Part 6?
Mm-hmm.
They're getting to Leprechaun territory.
Life After Beth. That's the same number of Leprechaun movies.
6?
Yeah. Life After Beth. This was a zombie romantic comedy with Dane DeHaan and Audrey Plaza.
Was it good?
It's okay.
Okay.
Like, it's okay.
Okay.
It's not much going on.
Not a lot of laughs?
Not a lot of laughs, no. John C. Reilly's good.
I think we have
Kundo. This is a samurai film I'm supposed to be reviewing the Blu-ray of, so I'll have that up soon.
Huh.
I haven't watched it yet.
Gotcha.
Mad Men, the final season, part 1. I mean... It's just a great show. So
the final season, part 1?
Yeah.
They broke up the DVD releases?
It was split in half.
Part
2 hits the TV next year.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, the telly.
Yeah, so the first part of that season is currently available. It will be available.
It's like Breaking Bad.
Exactly like Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They took like a mid-season break. Okay, all right.
Well, a year break.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know nothing about Breaking Bad.
See it? It's great.
I want season 5.
He's working his way up.
They're on the train heist.
So that...
Well, they might be doing train heist. Maybe.
That's what's coming out. Let's move on. Let's get to next week. Next week's show, it depends. It depends if Whiplash or Birdman spreads wider.
A lot of good movies.
I mean, if those spread wider, we'll talk about those definitely, one or the other.
Great.
If not, we'll talk about John Wick, which is also worth talking about. But,
I mean... That sounds like we might have to do, like, 3 mini-podcasts or something.
Or we can do just one.
If
Birdman or Whiplash comes out especially, we'll be able to talk about one of those movies.
Sounds good.
Which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it will also be fun to talk about. So it's up in the air with George Clooney right now about what we're
going to
talk
about.
What?
Do you want the cancer?
The what?
Do you want the cancer? Do you want the can?
Oh,
sir. That was the opening line for Up in the Air.
Go with the most obscure line? Because I got it to be, it's like, that's so, like, that's the line you pull.
I had no idea what you were talking about. I was, like, looking at you guys, like, what are you talking about?
What is your, like, way to you?
I'm holding
imagine a backpack right now.
Imagine
your life was in a backpack.
Oh, wait, no.
Put everything you own in that backpack. Now, start taking things out of that backpack. It's getting lighter. Okay.
Your face is really built into the podcast, Dave.
Yeah,
like, your method acting is flawless.
I thank my Coach Smith.
Okay, so with all that being said, the last thing we do here, what should people go and see now? What movie should people go and see in theaters right now?
I'd say The Book of Life, even though I haven't seen it, but your synopsis of this makes it sound amazing.
I'm certainly saying Book of Life.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay.
We're both saying Book of Life.
Okay.
I should go watch that this afternoon. I'm not even joking.
Alright, well, that's it. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog at codazeek.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for all my Blu-ray reviews. You can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/AaronsPS4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose. #chainheist?
Ken, can people find you anywhere?
They can find me in San Jose. That's about it, though.
Yay! 408!
With all that in mind, you can find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as at hhwlb.com. That is the podcast network that hosts our show, along with other fun shows, including the Walking Dead TV podcast, which is back in full swing, given that The Walking Dead's now back on the air.
Pretty good this season?
It's had a strong season opener,
okay.
That's for sure.
Only one episode?
It's only one episode.
Okay,
yeah. Tonight's the second episode.
Okay.
There's also the Ichapod Cranecast, of course, which I co-host a friend of the show, Brandon, and Maxwell, with that. We talk about the new episodes of Sleepy Hollow on Fox. and other fun shows about comics and games and stuff like that.
You can also find our episodes over at outnow.podomatic.com as well as soundcloud.com/outnowpodcast.
There's, of course, our email page. I mentioned the contest earlier. That's where you can go there, outnowpodcast@gmail.com, or let us know your thoughts on Fury or World War II movies in general.
You can also interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And, of course, there's our Tumblr page, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. You can follow us there. And lastly, feel free to leave us a voicemail at 972-798-3830. You can let us know your thoughts in audio form. We may be able to play it on the show or answer your question.
I'd really be curious to hear what you guys think of Fury, because Aaron and I are kind of okay with it.
And I'm hearing people that are... I saw some, like, really negative reviews. Not a lot of negative reviews. I saw some negative reviews, though, but I've seen a lot of positive reviews.
Which I want to... I'm going to read them after.
It's an audience-friendly movie. I can say that. Okay, what's the cinema score on it?
Cinema school.
Let's find out. Here is an A-, which is not... But so does Book of Life, which also makes me happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, cinema score... A- is like, yeah, we like this.
Yeah.
Even B+ is like, it's pretty good. But A-
is like pretty solid.
That reminds me also that Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, big title, also has an A- cinema score.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I heard that was like, you know, harmless family fun.
Yeah. But so does Dracula Untold. So who knows?
Dracula Untold?
Yeah.
So. Who voted for that one?
Well, so does Equalizer, so does Expendables 3. I mean...
Okay, well, now that's less
awkward. That's why I don't put much faith in this.
Yeah. I've lost all... Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah. So with all that said, yeah. Ken, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks for having me.
For sure, man. And, yeah, this has been another live episode about Now, There, and Abe. I think this is maybe our, like, sixth, if we had to guess.
We're interlacing our fingers right now. You can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to lick my hand.
And, yeah, that's going to do it this week. Until next week when we maybe... Ideally, we would talk... I mean... John Wick could be fun to talk about, but Whiplash and Birdman, those are some interesting movies that need to be talked about, so I'd love to be able to talk about this on the podcast, even if we don't talk about it next week. We'll talk about it the week after sometime following.
We're going to get to
these things.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, these movies are limited, and of course, you, the listener, who has been very gracious of listening to us this entire episode, probably hasn't seen Whiplash or Birdman yet, because they're in so few theaters, unless you're in like the LA or New York area, but hopefully they spread wider, hopefully Abe gets a chance to see them, because I'm certainly excited to have him see those movies, and we'll be able to talk about them. So with all that said, next week's show, a little bit up in the air with George Clooney. But until then, thanks a lot for listening. And that's going to do it. So long.
And goodbye. The goggles, they do nothing. Started killing Nazis in Africa, now I'm killing Nazis in Germany. Wait, Germans in Africa, now I'm killing Germans in Germany.
Nailed it. I had one of the best gunners in the whole entire army, and now I have you.